We are talking food trucks on Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. They're purveyors of tasty cuisine on wheels. Food trucks or carts may cluster at a festival. Perhaps you see them in a certain district. Ahead of the Milwaukee Food Truck Festival tomorrow, we're exploring how these trucks flavor up our communities. On State Street in Madison, Marta Staple has a long, long line every day at her fresh, cool drinks truck. Don't be misled by its name. Producer Courtney Everett brought this morsel back for us.
This food cart makes spring rolls that are about the size of like a Chipotle burrito, and it's $3.50, and it is more than a meal, and it satisfies. It's so good.
Yeah, why is it worth waiting in line?
Because it is more vegetables than I would otherwise eat in a meal. It fills me up. It tastes so good, and the line doesn't feel so bad because I get to stand in the sun. Usually I have a coworker with me, or I'm reading a book. I am lucky enough to get an hour for lunch, and I take the whole thing.
Awesome.
Like, and I'll spend it in line.
What is your favorite food truck? What do you love to get there? And how long are you willing to wait in line for that amazing food? Join in at 800-642-1234. Megan Blake-Horst is street vending coordinator for Madison within the city's Office of Business Resources and Economic Development Division. Megan, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So you coordinate street vending in Madison. What does that involve?
Well, I oversee our food carts, art and craft vending, sidewalk cafes, game day vending, so basically anything that happens in the right-of-way, organizing how and where the food carts go and where vendors go, as well as licensing and enforcement, and just figuring out how to grow our program here in the city of Madison.
Have you seen it grow?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've been on the job for about 2 years, and I have watched it grow during that time. And prior to that, there was extensive growth over the last 5 years, probably.
What do people love about food trucks? What is it about them?
Well, I think they're an experience. I think people really enjoy how it brings people together. Food is a basis of how we survive, and so it brings community together in a way that hasn't happened for a long time. It's also diverse. It's one of the most diverse sectors of business owners in this country. You know, a lot of immigrants, people of color, women, first-generation immigrants, and so it's a way to taste the world. Library Mall, as you were talking about, or State Street Mall, as mentioned earlier, there are 23 food carts, and you can probably taste food from 18 different countries.
Wow.
You know, and that is pretty significant in a small one-block area.
So what is the statewide reach of food trucks? Do we have any sense how big this industry is around our state?
Yeah. Well, I've seen a report that said 90, and I was like, I don't think so. We license about 100 in the city of Madison. So I think their numbers were a little bit off. But I talked to our Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, or DADCAP. They're one of the health department licensing bodies for the state licensing body for health. And they estimate about 700 food carts in the city, or food carts, trucks, and trailers in the state of Wisconsin.
Wow.
Probably so, over that. We were looking at numbers, and, you know, it's at least 700.
What about the impact on the city's culture and the types of tourism and what residents can bring into the mix when you're looking at food trucks?
Well, I think, you know, it's a way, a lot of people use it as community gathering spaces. They run events where they bring them in and they add a really unique flavor and option. Businesses are looking at partnering with food carts and trucks because they don't have restaurant service, but they know it keeps people. And, you know, schools are using it as fundraisers where the food carts give back a percentage after the end of the day. So it's a really cooperative and collaborative type of environment with a lot of partnerships.
We're talking food truck culture in Wisconsin with Megan Blake-Horst as our guide. She's the City of Madison street vending coordinator. Our producers got out this week visiting food trucks. Here's Luke Brinkman waiting for his chicken bibimbap burrito at the Bulgogi Korean truck in Madison.
This is actually the first time I've been here, or in a few years at least. I just like all the variety, the different ethnic foods out there, trying new things. It's a cool scene around here.
If you frequent food trucks, what's your favorite one and where is it? Where do you like, what do you like about food trucks? There's a line for you at 800-642-1234. Let's go to David now, joining us from La Crosse. Hi, David.
Hi, good morning.
So what is your deal with food trucks? What's the story?
Well, we've got out here, you know, we're maybe a little smaller, so we don't have as many, but one of the ones we have is a Pothic food truck, and I think everybody waits for food truck season because they're very community-focused. It's locally sourced produce, very diverse menu, everything from ramen to tacos and always a fresh like vegetarian item, but it's the menu rotates every week, and it's just phenomenal. So it's kind of one of those things I think people schedule their lives around, and just like you said, they make an effort to really support the community. So it's a great addition to this area, for sure.
David, where do they set up in La Crosse, Apothic?
So they do, I think, a Tuesday through Saturday. They're usually at Grounded Coffee Cafe downtown one day, and then Riverside Park another day, usually the Farmer's Market, and they'll do a brunch menu on Saturdays. And then usually they'll go to one of the local businesses or Gunderson Health System or one of the schools at night, a brewery. So they really make an effort to, you know, spread themselves around, and they've got a following. So no matter where they go, the line follows.
Love it. David, thanks so much for calling in. Megan, is that characteristic of some food trucks that they do move around locations?
Yeah, a lot of them do. They have to find different vending opportunities. And to be at the same business or office park every day, people get bored with the food. And the beautiful thing about food trucks and carts is that they can move around. They are mobile. They're a mobile restaurant. And so they can pop up all over the place, and sometimes in the least expected places, sometimes in places they maybe shouldn't. But it's a continual work in progress. And, you know, figuring out what the community really wants and how to connect that. And I think that's a special place that I get to do with street vending. I probably am the only person in the country to have a job that's strictly focused on street vending. So I have an opportunity to partner with these businesses and help make those collections and collaborations.
David also mentioned that Apothic changes up its menu. Is that common among food trucks?
Yeah, a lot of food trucks, as he mentioned, use seasonable produce. They work with farmers. They work at reducing food waste. They work at how to connect really with those local farmers and local producers. And so they are chefs and creative folk, and it allows them a more unique and creative opportunity in their carts versus a brick and mortar restaurant where you have people coming expecting the same thing every day. People expect the unexpected with a food truck or a food cart.
Does that give them, I guess, a leg up in staying viable as a business, because so many restaurants end up closing?
Yeah. And I see the similar with food carts. A lot of people start and they think it's going to be a hobby, or they don't need to do the business thing because they cook. You have to do everything. You are a jack of all trades. You have to know how to do your books. You have to know when to apply for your licenses and what licenses to apply for. Because if you don't, you're not in compliance, and then it can cause you a world of hurt, which turns to lots of things that we don't want to go into. We want to be proactive and help people be, you know, following the rules.
We're talking with Megan Blake Horst. She is the street vending coordinator for the city of Madison. Vendors, we want to hear from you as well. How do you build loyalty among customers? What would you tell new to the industry food truck owners? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@wpr.org. We'll be back in just a minute with more on food trucks, maybe hear about your favorite one right here on the Ideas Network. We're talking food trucks here on Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. And a shout out to the Racine Food Truck Tour, Milwaukee's finest food trucks. 11 of them gather in Racine for several choice Wednesday nights in July, September, and October. We've been hearing from people around Madison food trucks. Here's Cameron at the Baraka cart, which serves up Ethiopian dishes and is just steps away from her work.
You get to try all sorts of things from across Madison, but they're right at your front door for me.
What is the value of having street vending options in your community? Did it compel you to try a new food? Are you thinking of starting a food truck business? And what made you want to do it? We're at 800-642-1234, and Megan Blake-Horst is the street vending coordinator for the city of Madison, and she stays with us. Let's bring in another call now. Billy is joining us from Milwaukee. Hi, Billy.
Good morning. What a great subject. I'm an all-American guy. I love hot dogs. I'm the tube steak fiend. I've been known to pull out of traffic because I'll see a hot dog vendor in the street. I did the same thing in New York. There's a club here in town called La Cage that gets really weird at about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. A guy had to stand there with spicy poolish. I stood there eating these dogs and watching this weird crowd come out. I am a nut for hot dog stands.
I love it. That's a great story. So what about hot dog stands? What do you know about them?
Well, we don't have too many in Madison. We did have a food cart called Fibs. He recently had a fire in his food cart and decided to retire. So we're very sad to see Fibs go. But in larger cities like Milwaukee, New York, you do see a lot of the hot dog stands on the corner. And it really does provide a great, quick, on-the-go lunch for people. And there are great fans like Billy out there that will go out of their way. And they do want something, you know, I see that Billy's interested in his all-beef hot dogs, you know, and having that type of thing. But, you know, they just want something quick and easy, and it hits the mark.
It does. The hot dogs, pretzels, good to go. So how does the permitting process work to get a license to serve food?
Yeah, well, in Wisconsin, you have to have health department licensing, which is different than vending licensing. So counties and the state can license for the health department, and they need a mobile-based kitchen or commissary kitchen, service base, a place to store their food, do their dishes, dump their gray water, that sort of thing. And then they also need a mobile retail or mobile food establishment license, depending on the county that you're in. And then if they're doing special events and adding infrastructure to their cart or truck, then they need a temporary food license from the health department. All of those are licenses. And then every city, township, and community around the state has their own vending rules. So it is not a statewide governed rules. So in Madison, we have specialized vending areas. You need to have a basic street vending license to actually make any sales. So you need anywhere from 3 to 4 licenses to operate in Madison. Milwaukee is going to operate differently. Sun Prairie, Verona, all of our local communities around Madison, they all have different vending rules, whether you can be on private property or you have to be in the right of way.
Yeah, so you really have to look at that if you want to move your truck to another community, perhaps.
Yep. And you have to do a lot of door-to-door, you know, knocking at city clerk's office doors and asking them what their vending rules are. And I always encourage people to ask if they need licenses or permits, because depending on the city you're in, they're going to call it a permit or a license. And if you ask for a license and they do permits, they might not answer your question. You know, so I always encourage new vendors to ask multiple questions, ask the same question in multiple ways to make sure that they're getting the answer that they need to operate legally.
And they're covering all the bases. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how different are health inspections of food trucks compared to your brick and mortar restaurants?
I would say food carts are inspected more frequently. They have to have 2 inspections, one for their base kitchen to get licensed, and then they have to have their cart or their mobile vehicle licensed and inspected. And at every special event they go to, they can be inspected. They can have pop-in inspections at any time from either the county health inspectors or the state. So it is pretty rigorous. And brick and mortars are usually inspected annually.
How do food truck owners build customer loyalty, get people coming back again and again, not just these one-offs? Oh, that was a neat, food truck.
Yeah, I would say it has to do with customer service and their food. You know, it's a people business, and that's one of the reasons our street vendors really like to be out there is because they get to interact with customers on a regular basis. You know, social media hasn't hurt the industry at all. A lot of people really depend on that to keep their following and get people engaged in what they're doing and where they're at. But I really think it's the people they meet in line. It's the people that they meet when they walk up to the counter. It's the food that they taste, the cultures that they experience, and the stories they get.
What happens in the winter to food trucks? I've always wondered.
Well, in Wisconsin, in Madison, we have about 30% of our food carts that vend year-round. There's a lot of students that have to walk to school and a lot of office workers around the Capitol Square that want to eat and they want to go to a food cart. Even in our office parks, we have food carts that will go out to the office parks and outside of the downtown area because that group of folks still don't have places to eat. They don't have time to go out to eat. So go to the carts.
About 30%, you say, are year-round. Mm-hmm. So you can perhaps any time of year find a food cart that's going to be willing to serve you up something.
Yeah, even at winter festivals, you'll run into food carts. You know, there's a lot of winter festivals that have been popping up over the, you know, the holiday season, and food trucks are there.
Talking with Megan Blake Horst, she is the street vending coordinator for the city of Madison within the city's Office of Business Resources and Economic Development Division. A wealth of information. You can join in with your questions about food trucks at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Megan, what kind of challenges do food truck owners and workers face? What are the big things, that obstacles?
Right now, employees, keeping employees, and that's a restaurant and food industry issue right now. They don't have enough staff, and they're really struggling. Some of our food carts have brick and mortar restaurants and food carts, and so they're struggling to keep both staffed. That's a huge issue. We work with a lot of people with a variety of language, and so they're having to navigate a very bureaucratic, intense system. And so there's a lot of challenges, but in Madison, we work really hard to guide them through this process because we do see it as a great opportunity. So, you know, it's the communication and making sure they understand a very complicated system and operate effectively and legally. But I would say employment right now, from what I heard from everyone, it's an ongoing challenge.
Can you make a decent living?
Yeah, yeah. I think, you know, we've had carts that have been vending since 1972. So I'm going to say that they've made at least a living, and they've raised children and they've raised families in this community. So, yeah, you know, I was looking at a national statistic, and it was around like $150,000 on average, that gross that they would be making, you know. And so you'd scale that back for a smaller, you know, community such as Madison, as opposed to Austin or, you know, Portland, something like that. You know, so you can kind of do the math on that, but people are making a living.
What draws people to food trucks as opposed to going to a sit-down restaurant to enjoy a meal?
Time. Time is a big factor. How close it is to work. Perception is sometimes, you know, brick and mortars can be really quick and do pickups for lunch, but it's also the experience. They can stand in line with their office mates, and if they have three different dietary choices, there's three different food carts right there. Everyone gets what they want, and then they go sit on the Capitol Square or someplace nearby and enjoy their time together. So it always comes back to community and food bringing people together.
There is a food truck festival tomorrow, the third annual food truck and craft beer festival in Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. Do other communities across the state have festivals that are devoted to food trucks?
Yeah, yeah. I say that happens a lot. And it's a really great way because they're bringing in music and food and art and craft, but, you know, focused on the food. Sometimes it's a competition. You know, in Madison, we have something, the Taste of Madison. It brings in 250,000 people every year over the Memorial Day weekend. And, you know, it's, or is it Labor Day weekend? Labor Day weekend. Sorry.
Okay.
I was like, I threw off my, my timing. yeah, so they, you know, it brings in hundreds of thousands of people and it's devoted to food. And I'd say probably 30 to 40% of the businesses at Taste of Madison are food carts. You know, it's pretty significant. So we see them popping up as just food truck nights, where it's not so much a festival, but it's just a gathering weekly or monthly. You know, power in numbers.
Do you see the future bright for food trucks in Madison?
I do. I continue to see growth. This last year, we created two new policies that can open up this industry. We can allow food trucks on private property, which in the city of Madison has not been allowed due to our zoning code, but we just recently made a change to the zoning code. So with a few approvals and a basic street vending license, you can vend on private property. And we also are working on an ordinance to allow full-size food trucks in Madison. So that's something that hasn't been allowed. We've only had food carts and trailers.
So what is a full size?
One that drives itself. Think of what you see on the movies and on the big screen. It's like the large, you know, SEP van, UPS.
Oh, like craft
retrofit.
Services.
Yeah, it's like a big full-size, you know, full-size deal.
Huh.
But there's a number of vendors that want to do that, or they've come to me and already own one, and I'm like, I can't help you. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm excited that we're able to create some new policies and ordinances in the city of Madison to open up more opportunity for mobile vending.
Well, Megan, thank you so much for joining us.
It's been a pleasure.
Megan Blakehorst is the street vending coordinator for the city of Madison within the city's Office of Business Resources and Economic Development. It is Wisconsin Weekend here on The Morning Show. Coming up, we talk about our state's frozen custard tradition. Where do you go for the best custard? Stake your claim for the creamiest, tastiest custard at 800-642-1234. We'll go around our state sampling frozen custard right after this news update here on the Ideas Network. Yum. We are talking about frozen custard here on Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is our state's signature dessert. It's thick, it's smooth, creamy. It is so not ice cream, as discerning Wisconsinites will point out. Custard lovers, let's hear from you. Where do you get your custard fix? Who makes the best batch, in your humble opinion? Do you remember a local custard stand from your childhood? Is it still around? Join in at 800-642-1234. Kathy McCann is a Milwaukee-based writer and editor. She co-authored the book Milwaukee Frozen Custard. Kathy, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hi, thanks. Good morning.
So clear the air for us. Can you explain the difference between custard and ice cream?
Well, sure. I mean, if you think of it this way, all custard is ice cream, but not all ice cream is custard. So custard has all the same ingredients that ice cream does, but it also has egg yolks, or what they call egg yolk solids. And then to be officially custard, you have to have a certain percentage of that in your product.
So what does that egg do in the consistency and in what you're eating in that custard?
Well, it definitely makes it, gives it that smooth and creamy feel, like mouthfeel, that everyone kind of, you know that frozen custard is better. I think it's just really hard to put your finger on exactly why, but that is really why. And then there's a couple of other things about frozen custard that make it more creamy, but the eggs are definitely a key ingredient. And then another important thing for custard is the amount of air that's blown into it. They call it overrun. And there's less air usually in custard than in ice cream. And then also an important aspect of making custard is the machine that blows that air into it. It's a continuous flow machine. It's those machines where, the mix goes in one end and it comes out frozen. It spins around, comes out frozen, the front end, and kind of, I think we've all seen that in a custard stand. It kind of comes out, kind of extrudes out the front, and then it falls into what they call a dipping cabinet, and then that's what's scooped out.
Yeah, and are those machines pretty custom, and is the mix that you put into them pretty standard?
Well, it's interesting because the machines, Stolting, which is a company in Keel, Wisconsin, so there's a lot of Wisconsin connections to custard. So Keel would be one because they make those machines today.
Mm-hmm.
Historically, Leon's made custard machines and sold them in and around Milwaukee. And as you know, Leon's is a famous custard stand here. And then also, the machines, you can get those. The downside of those machines is that they cost anywhere from about $80,000.
Oh, wow.
So some custard stands do use a different machine, which, it's not the official custard machine, but it's still really good. So it'd be something similar to a machine where you get like a twist cone out of. So if they pull a little handle and get the custard out, that's not, your official custard machine. But it's still really tasty. Excuse me.
Yeah, and there's
and then
some,
as far as the mix.
Yeah, go ahead with the mix.
Uh-huh. The mix is really interesting because all custard stands get their mix from essentially one company in Wisconsin, and then there's another one in northern Illinois. And so it has, Wisconsin milk in it. It comes in these giant bags, which isn't super appetizing to think about. And they come in a flavor called neutral, and then I think some come in chocolate. And they're all essentially the same, although the, recipes are slightly tweaked. Some custard stands have their own recipe that others can't use. But and then at the actual stand is where they add the ingredients like the vanilla. And then, of course, if you're having flavoring and, you're adding what they call inclusions for like a flavor of the day. So essentially, even though people say all the custard stands, the custard tastes different, it does, but it really is not that big of a difference because they're all essentially using the same mix.
We're talking frozen custard with Kathy McCann, who co-wrote the book Milwaukee Frozen Custard. What is your favorite flavor of custard? Do you find that the same flavor tastes different depending on where you go? And what would you like to know about the history of custard in Wisconsin, specifically Milwaukee? We're at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Let's go to Guy now, joining us from La Crosse. Hi, Guy.
Good morning. I have a couple of comments about custard. First of all, I grew up in the Madison area and moved to Milwaukee after college, and I had never, really heard of custard, which sounds like I lived in a different state or something. But I really liked going to Robert's Custard or Kit's Frozen Custard. My wife and I lived on the north side of Milwaukee, and what I notice about the custard places is it's such a draw that it bridged the kind of racial divisions in the city where it was almost like the African watering hole where all the animals come. And I thought that was really cool aspect of it. It was everyone in that vicinity, that sort of sector of the metro area, they were going to those custard places, people of all different backgrounds.
Yeah, so Guy is saying it formed community around custard. Kathy?
Well, I absolutely agree. It is something that kind of brings people together no matter what. I mean, I know what you're talking about with Kits and Roberts, which used to actually be a Cops on Appleton Avenue. And, it's definitely a slice of life coming in and out. we're going up to the window. It's funny. It's kind of, in a more of lighthearted way, it kind of also separates people because they feel very strongly about their favorite stand. And they'll, defend it really vigorously. But I think most people like me, I have a few favorite stands, but, I'll go and check out the others, anytime.
So you have a few favorite stands. Would you divulge what they are?
Well, when you write a book about custard, probably not a good idea. But, there are definitely ones that are, more well-known, especially in Milwaukee. In Madison, there is a small chain called Michael's, so people in Madison, don't fear. There are some really great custard stands in Madison. But, it's incredible how much people love their favorite custard stand. They'll talk about how great it is. And I would say in the book, we talk about four particular custard stands that are really important to the history of custard. And I think in the book we might call it like the Big Four or something like that. But definitely Leon's, because the founder of Leon's sold machines, and he actually built machines and built parts for them. And he sold machines to people and then got a lot of people into the custard business. So, if you name anybody in the custard business, Leon Schneider, who was the founder, probably got them, into the business. So there was a guy who started Alv, Town Pride, and of course, Elsa Kopp, he convinced to start her own stand. So he's really influential. And then Kopp's probably best known because of the great quality that they adhere to. Everything, when you go into Kopp's, you're someplace special. And Carl Kopp is an incredible business person, having a couple of different, restaurants and businesses over the years. But the Kopp's stands that he has. When you go in, you know, the stark white outfits, the cleanliness, the, you know, everything.
Oh, it's the whole experience.
Yeah, it is an experience. And then Gilly's on Blue Mound Road in Milwaukee, being the oldest custer stand that's still operating. And then I would say Culver's is the other most influential, because Craig Culver, you know, started that with his wife and his parents. And, you know, they must have now 600 stands across the country. So your caller that earlier said I had never heard of frozen custard, you know, that's the case for most of the world. But
and you would,
you know,
think
Culver's is...
Yeah, and you would assume that custard was invented here, but it turns out that's not the case.
That's true. It came here, but we are definitely the custard capital. So it started on the East Coast and came here later, but we've kind of held on to that tradition and perfected it. There were tons of stands, of course, in the 40s and 50s. I mean, if you open the phone books when we were doing our research, there were so many custard stands. You know, some would open, some would close, but it was amazing. And so there was really a sense of camaraderie when those were opening, and Leon's helped a lot of them open. Because I think they all felt that, first of all, there was enough demand in business. There was the competition, you know, you didn't really have to worry about competition because it seemed like people had an insatiable appetite for custard at that time. That was kind of the when teeny boppers and drive-ins were coming into their own, if you will.
Mm.
And so it was sort of a interesting time for that perfect storm of, you know, custard stands. And yeah, so in the 40s and 50s, there were so many that it seemed like you couldn't, you know, swing a cat without hitting a custard stand.
How is the scene now today? What does the current custard scene look like in Milwaukee?
Well, in our book covers all of Wisconsin, and it talks about the history, the mix, the machines, you know, every aspect really that you might want to know about custard. But in the back, there also is a list of current custard stands, and there's about 50 in there.
Hmm.
I'm sure we missed a few here and there. I know one or two have already closed since we published the book, but then hopefully others will open too. I mean, it is still something that people do open new custard stands.
We're getting our frozen custard brain freeze on with Kathy McCann as our guide. She co-authored Milwaukee Frozen Custard. You can join in with your favorite frozen custard flavors, where you find them. We're at 800-642-1234. Where do you go to get your custard fix? Who makes the best batch? Do you remember a local custard stand from your childhood? And is it still open today? Call in. You can also tweet us your sweet insights at WPR Mornings. We'll be back for more in a minute here on the Ideas Network. We are savoring Wisconsin's pride and joy. It's frozen custard time on Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer Kent. With our abundance of milk and cream and our statewide fondness for everything dairy, we can absolutely understand how Milwaukee became the unofficial custard capital of the world. And in other custard news, on Monday, Culver's, headquartered in Prairie du Sac, is launching four new flavors of the day. Four. And our friendly food and drink reporter over at USA Today Network Wisconsin, Dan Higgins, he tried the new flavors. We got scooped. And he reported that Culver's new caramel cheesecake flavor features cheesecake chunks made specifically for Culver's by Eli's Cheesecake Company. And thanks for your help on that, Chicago. So there's still time for you to give a shout out to your favorite custard and your memories growing up with frozen custard. 800-642-1234. Kathy McCann stays with us, and she co-authored the book Milwaukee Frozen Custard. Let's go to Tom now, joining us from Burlington. Hi, Tom.
You guys are making me really hungry this morning.
Yep.
We have a custard stand here. It's called Adrian's, and the custard is really creamy and smooth and cool and sweet. And the cone is crunchy. You need a little crunch when you eat something. Everything you eat, you need something that crunches in your mouth to make you feel like you're. That sound that goes in your ears is part of the process. And then we have. You can go there and go across to Echo Park and eat your ice cream there. Or we have a baseball field at Beaumont here. And our team is going up there to Appleton on Monday to play for the state championship, the Demons. And they have a wonderful hot dog over there that's $2, and it's delicious, full meat. So you can have your ice cream and your hot dog right there near Adrian's in Burlington, Wisconsin.
Well, Tom, you're giving us the full experience. Has Adrian's been around for a long time, do you know?
Yes, it has. It's been a long 30 or 40 years, and the owner has one here in the winter, in the summertime, and he goes down to Florida in the wintertime. And the funny story about, you were talking about the crusher, his neighbors, I met the crusher's neighbors, and they get this ice cream, and they go to the park. That's where I met the crusher's neighbors. They're talking about this crusher. They got a thing going on over there with the statue.
You're connecting all the dots for us, Tom. Thank you so much. Kathy, what do you hear there?
Well, Tom has a full Wisconsin experience, isn't he? He's taking frozen custard and the crusher into one vignette, and it's pretty awesome. I agree with his assessment. You know, when you talk about frozen custard, or you know, you can be hungry for that any time of day. To me, that seems like a good breakfast food. You could have it on top of a waffle, whatever. You can have it late night, a shake or something, you know. There's really no limit to custard. But, yeah, we actually do cover Adrian's in our book, in the Milwaukee Frozen Custard book. It's actually the first one in the listing of current custard stands, just because it starts with A. But and we did go there, and it's a great custard stand. I totally agree with him. And it was funny because he also called it ice cream, you know, which growing up, that's what we always called it, too. We didn't say, we're going to go out for some frozen custard and then head out to Cop. You know, we just said, we're going out for ice cream.
Cal from Sugar Camp wants to know if the Pig and Whistle is still around.
Unfortunately, the Pig and Whistle is in our section of the book called, you know, the now defunct, custard stand. But that was a very famous one in Milwaukee. I think it is actually in Shorewood. But, it was around for a long time, but it's no longer with us.
What about the cone? You know, Tom was telling us that you have to have a crunchy cone. Do people like their custard in cones, or do you normally go for a dish?
Well, when talking to the custard stand owners for the book, first of all, the most, you know, people will ask, well, what's the most popular flavor? Well, the most popular flavor is vanilla because it's the basis for all of the sundaes. Mm. So I think, you know, if you were to ask anybody, I think sundaes would probably be more popular than cones even. I'm a cone fan myself. And what's great is that some places, you know, like here in Milwaukee, there's a chain that makes their own cones right on site. So they have a bunch of waffle irons. You can see them behind the counter. Called Oscars, and they, you know, roll up the waffle cones and they make them right there, and they are delicious.
Sounds wonderful. Let's go to Pat now, joining us from Milwaukee. Good morning, Pat.
Hi. I have a favorite flavor at Cops called chocolate truffle, and they don't have it every month. Like a lot of times the flavors repeat a couple times a month or for sure every month. But that one they have sporadically, and it's a really lightly flavored chocolate with like thin chocolate flakes. And I don't know if you've ever heard about it.
Hmm. Yeah, what do we know there? Anything, Kathy?
Well, I think about chocolate truffle in particular. Cops is, it's funny because Cops did, Elsa Kopp, the founder of Cops, was the first person to really kind of float the idea of a flavor of the day. Although when they started it in the, let's say, 70s, might have been the late 60s, it was more of a, it wasn't so much a flavor of the day, it was like a featured flavor, and they'd have one flavor during the weekdays and then another flavor on the weekends. And then that sort of morphed into more frequent. And now when you go to Cops, I believe they have two or three flavors every day.
So they really don't repeat that much in any given month. I mean, they may if it's a really popular flavor. Custard stands have gotten really inventive with their flavors and kind of matching them also to holidays or special events or Gillies here in Milwaukee has one over St. Patrick's Day that's really popular that infuses Jameson whiskey in it. During the Harley-Davidson Fest, there's a couple of stands named theirs after motorcycles. so they are a really fun way to go out and explore custard. I myself always am kind of drawn in by the flavor of the day, and then I usually end up getting chocolate anyway. So,
and Culver's is still inventing new flavors.
Yeah, they're all inventing new flavors. Absolutely. And obviously they probably drop off ones that don't sell as well. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, Culver's, I don't know how many flavors of the day they have, but it's got to be in the hundreds. And what's interesting about them is because they have a few that are owned by the company, but most of them are franchises. All of the flavors of the day at the different stands are different. So, you know, you might have, like here in Milwaukee, there's multiple Culver's. So, you know, there'll be a mint chocolate chip at one stand and another flavor at another. So you can choose your flavor of the day and go to that one.
Do you think Culver's, do you think Culver's and its diversity of flavors has helped keep custard on the map here in Wisconsin?
Absolutely. I think the flavors do draw people in. What's interesting is when I was talking to Craig Culver, he kind of outlined for me what he kind of defined as a couple of different flavor groups that all of the flavors fall into and what people like. So I don't remember all of them. Maybe there was a handful, but it was like there's the chocolate people, there's the mint people, there's the this is a food science. So and then there's the fruity people, people who really like fruits. There's the tart people. And really, if you think about all the flavors of the day, no matter how different they are, they do all kind of fit into one of those categories, if you will. But I think that really draws people in to a specific stand on a specific day. But I think a lot of them are like me. They show up for the flavor. They might get it. They might not. And then they end up, you know, with a sundae.
Well, before we left, we have to let you go. Kathy, do you have a favorite flavor? Has it evolved over the decades?
Honestly, mine is chocolate.
All right.
Boring chocolate. But I will say my daughter invented a sundae. So there's a sundae, a classic sundae called the Dusty Road, which has vanilla custard topped with hot fudge and then malt powder sprinkled on it. And she always gets it with the chocolate custard instead of vanilla. And instead of Dusty Road, we call it the Dusky Road.
Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed it.
Kathy McCann is a Milwaukee-based writer and editor and co-author of the book Milwaukee Frozen Custard. Wisconsin Life, this is Wisconsin Weekend here on The Morning Show. Special thanks to summer intern Ethan Uslabar for his help with the show today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Bye.